Good evening. This is your friend Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle. It's April the 18th, 2019, and I sit here, you know, kind of happy that things aren't quite as bad as they were a few weeks ago. Looking forward to my first paycheck in a long time, showing up on Monday, they say. Sure, it won't be direct deposit. I'll have to get my ass on a bus to the consulting company to grab a paper check to get to a fucking bank to deposit it so I can pay my rent late and not get thrown out, but at least I can pay my fucking rent. And to those of you listeners out there who've supported me in the last couple months, maybe because you enjoy my podcast, maybe because you have a profound sense of pity, you consider me a pitiable figure, I gotta say thank you. Thank you. I'm here drinking my Coca-Cola. Now, so you know, I don't get paid till Monday, so I'm still scrimping by. But where I'm working right now, and I believe I let some of those words pass by in a previous podcast, but where I'm working right now at the Willy Wonka campus there in Redmond, they give you the free soda, the free sugar water. They give you the vegetable slurry, that V8 juice, that pulverized, industrialized vegetable slurry, as much as you want. You get all the 8 vegetables. They don't tell you which 8 vegetables, but you get to pour that into a cup every morning, as much vegetable industrial slurry as you want to keep yourself alive. And I ripped off a few Coca-Colas from that refrigerator. Yeah, when you work there, you can have as many Coca-Colas, as many Diet Cokes, as many little cans of V8 pulverized, industrialized vegetable slurry, and it all really just makes you feel good inside. So yes, it is a fine, great day. Now, I do have some topics worthy of discussion. On the bus home tonight, I was talking to a friend of mine. Well, a person I just met, a person I barely know, but a person I know from work. I'll leave his identity protected because he's a pretty cool dude. I will say this. He's got that European sensibility. And he's willing to listen to me. So even if he thinks I'm crazy, he humors me. And unlike the other freaks and guamps and fribuli and other folks riding that fucking metro bus, the 545, we actually carried on a conversation while the other dregs and drecks of the world, coming from their nice little software jobs, are staring at their rectangles, flipping it with their little pinky finger to scan whatever fucking shit off of social media. Me and my friend were actually having something on a bus that people used to have a long time ago. It's called a fucking conversation. And I kept my voice at a reasonable level, but I was, I don't know, feeling a bit ebullient tonight, feeling a bit expressive. And yeah, we had a good conversation. At one point, the subject of relationships and love came up, and I stated the following. I said, you know, I have a great libido, I really enjoy sex, but I just can't stand the complexity of trying to date women these days. Now, keep in mind, I was sitting in a seat across the aisle from my friend, but the person sitting next to me was a woman, I believe. And according to my friend, she had a look on her face, like that look, you know, that the entitled Democratic liberal homeowners of Seattle get, that look that God forbid you question their socialist capitalism or their capitalist socialism, God forbid you question their fucking liberal Marxist bullshit as they toss homeless people into the pit. God forbid you point out their fucking hypocrisy. And God forbid you express yourself, because you ought not to express yourself. You ought not to have a fucking opinion. I simply stated the following. I said that, yeah, I do enjoy sex. I just don't enjoy the fucking bullshit of relationships these days. To me, most of the women I meet, especially in Seattle, they have a fantasy in their head. They have this Johnny Depp pirate fantasy of some dude that makes $300,000 a year and owns their home and has no debt and drives a fucking Tesla and buys all of their Jimbus juice at fucking Whole Foods. But the reality is, I'm not that person. And worse than that, I won't fucking lie about it. It kind of reminds me of going on to Plenty of Fish, that dating site a few years ago, and having an honest profile. I won't go on to a dating site and put up a bullshit profile. And this one woman responded to me and said, you know, you'll never get a date if you tell the truth about, you know, how you feel about things. And I said, good fucking deal. It's kind of like, you know, this friend of mine telling me that if I lost 20 pounds, I would probably have no problem picking up women. And when he said this the other night, I thought to myself, fuck, if I gain 20 pounds, it will be like a force field against that fucking bullshit. Do I hate women? No. Do I think all women suck? No. Do I think that women are weaker and stupider than men? No. But do I think that a lot of women and men these days, because guess what? It's got nothing to do with fucking gender. Do I think a lot of men and women live in a fantasy world of delusion? Do I think they ride the bus home and instead of actually having human conversations, they stare at their golden rectangle and flip it with their little pinky finger? Yeah, that's what I think of most of you fucks. Not all of you. Some of you are out there and who knows, maybe you actually have conversations. Maybe you choose to go to bars that aren't filled with big screen TVs playing basketball and football and whatever fucking horrid shit happens in whatever corner of the sports world. Some of you actually want to have human contact. Some of you, like me, actually value, you know, what's left of the human project. I'm not against technology. I work in technology. But that's the thing. I want to use technology. I don't want technology using me. And something terrible happened. I don't know if it was 10 years ago, 10 months ago, 100 years ago, or maybe 10,000 years ago. But something horrible happened in the past whereby the tools started using us. Maybe it was in the mid-90s, the mid-80s. Maybe it was when the Atari 2600 came out. You all remember that. I loved that fucking console. Playing fucking Space Invaders and that adventure game where you fucking duel dragons that look like, I don't know, seahorses and all kinds of foolish bullshit. And where if you got captured by that fucking bat, you got carried to the Easter egg. You know that adventure game from the Atari 2600, you fuck. But whenever it did happen, and I don't know when it actually happened, but whenever it happened, all of a sudden the tools, they started using us. So no, I'm not against technology, but I am a little bit wary of the golden rectangle, the little shiny rectangle that people stare at, the fucking electronic dog collar. I'm a little wary of the fucking dog collar. Anywho. I don't really know. I mean, this woman sitting next to me, she was kind of attractive. In fact, under ordinary circumstances, if it wasn't the case that, like most people in Seattle, male or female, there's an 80% chance that she was a Marxist, socialist, capitalist, homeowning, fuck the homeless people bitch. But the reality is, men and women both, bitches and assholes in Seattle mostly, are just scum. They claim to care about people. They claim to give a shit. But God forbid you threaten their homeowner empire. God forbid you threaten their pyramid shelter schemes. God forbid you remind them that every fucking human being needs food, water, and shelter, you fuck. And God forbid you remind them that Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and all the other big fish in Seattle get a giant paycheck from the Department of Defense. You know that institution that sets people's fucking homes on fire? The one that murders people? Yeah, that one, you Democratic or Republican or liberal scumbag, that fucking institution. If they stop writing checks to your friendly little Google job, your good little Amazon job, your wonderful Microsoft or Facebook job, you would get fucking laid off. God forbid we get punished for our sins. Oh, we will be. I'm not an atheist any longer. I guarantee you there's no miracle coming for us. It's chastisement time, people. Read your fucking Bible, and I suggest you start at the beginning. Don't just cheat to the end and think that Jesus is going to save you. I'll let you on a little secret. Jesus loves you, but Jesus expects more from you. I'll repeat that in a slightly different way. I believe Jesus loves me, and I also think Jesus expects a lot more from me, as he expects a lot more from you. You fuck. But yeah, you know, this morning on the bus, on the way to my job, I was sitting in my seat, and this, again, purportedly Indian, meaning from the subcontinent, maybe Madras, maybe Mumbai, this Indian sits down next to me. He looks about 6 feet tall. He's kind of bulky. He jabs his elbow into my side, and then he starts staring at his little glowing rectangle. So I decided to take my hands that are now chemically burned from using, you know, laundry detergent to wash dishes for 3 months because I haven't any fucking money, really, or barely enough money, just enough money to get by. And so I kind of opened up the wounds on my hands a bit, a little bit of blood. Made it look like my hands were diseased. And given that I took a spill on 12th Avenue back in February, and given that there's probably some sort of slow MRSA infection in my left hand, it was pretty nice. I made sure it was prominent. I made sure that if he happened to glance my direction from his little glowing rectangle, he would see my filthy, rotten hand. Maybe it would be a reminder. Maybe it would wake him the fuck up. But whatever normal world you think is out there, whatever little fantasy you get by going on Willy Wonka campus every day to your 90 different cafeterias and your 200 cooks and your little fucking free shuttle rides and all your fucking bullshit, I like to remind you that there is something ugly underneath the surface. And there is no free lunch. Entropy always wins, and God created entropy. So all you fucks out there that think this particular reality is going to continue, walk away from Willy Wonkaville for a few hours. Walk 10 miles away. Take a little stroll down Little Saigon ways, you know, maybe on Jackson Street, maybe on 12th Avenue. Go down Rainier Avenue and take a big old whiff with your nose and recognize that this entire paradigm is way past its fucking shelf life. You know that little date they put on the food? The one that says, best eaten by then? That date passed 5 or 6 or 10 years ago. We are now in the phase of that canned food where we are past the shelf life. Sure, you could still open up the can and pour it into a fucking pot and shove that shit down your throat, and it might be okay. And it might not be okay. The other day, I was talking to a person at work, and, you know, this person had mentioned they had a hard time getting to sleep at night. And I said, you know, I have a strategy. Here's how I sleep at night. You know, other than vaporizing weed when I can afford it, or, I don't know, taking a bunch of beers and shoving them down my throat. You know how I sleep at night? I climb up my little submarine ladder in my cube zone crotchety studio here at the Apodments into my bed, where I sleep in a place that only collects heat in the summertime because of its design. And I imagine I'm in some type of interplanetary spaceship. I didn't say interstellar. If you don't know the difference, please go back to fucking school. But I imagine I'm on an interplanetary spaceship on the edge of the solar system, our solar system, on a cruise, on a patrol, but everything's okay. There are no problems. We're out in the Kuiper Belt zone, just cruising along at maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10% the speed of light. And I'm going up to get, you know, I'm getting off duty on this particular ship, and I'm going up to go down for sleep at night. And I can imagine on the edge of the solar system and the captain saying everything's okay. That's how I sleep at night. I pretend that I am several astronomical units away from Earth, someplace in the deep, dark cold of outer space, if you think such places exist. I imagine a captain that says everything's fine. Maybe the captain's female, maybe the captain's male. I do not give a fuck. It could be a robot captain. It could be a de-gentrified, g-gendrified cybernetic captain that thinks it's a woman, that thinks it's a man, that thinks it's a woman that's thinking about being a man. I do not give a fuck. But the captain says everything's okay. You can go down to sleep tonight, Dan. Everything's fine. We're just out in the Kuiper Belt zone, looking at chunks of ice just cruising by. There are no problems. Everything's fine. That's how I sleep at night. I don't know. Last night I was walking home from the store, and I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say about this. I was walking back from the store last night, and it was dark out, and this dude, this young dude, this millennial, and I'm not beating up on millennials. This isn't about that. But this young dude comes up from behind me, almost brushes me. And so I decide to just sort of like mutter some shit like my crazy homeless person. Little did I know that that triggered the dude and he started muttering shit. We didn't even know each other. He just kept on walking, stepping off. But he started muttering crazy ass shit because I started muttering crazy ass shit. That is Little Saigon. That's reality. Everything here is covered in a film, a greasy, greasy film. Everything here is covered in MRSA and flesh-eating bacteria and all sorts of other things. If you trip and fall on 12th Avenue, they might have to amputate your arm if you get a scratch. That's how nice and clean these streets are. But if you can imagine you're in that spaceship on the edge of the solar system, you're going down for sleep, you just got off duty, and you're in the deep, dark blackness of deep space and nothing around you but chunks of ice and planets that are no longer considered planets, like that fucking Pluto. You remember when Pluto used to be a planet until fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson was an asshole? That's what I mean. Out in that deep, dark space. And everything's okay. And it's all right for you to relax, and it's all right for you to let go and just go to sleep. Usually before I go to sleep at night, and since I started this job, I've had a hard time sleeping. But usually before I go to sleep at night, I hear the screaming. I live next to a homeless shelter. Not a very big one, but it's big enough. And about every other night, a fight breaks out. I don't know if these are pay-for fights. I simply hear the screams. But there are all sorts of rumors about, you know, bum fights, about these rich upper class software engineers and programmers and dweebs from Facebook and Amazon and Google and Microsoft paying bums to kill each other. Sure, it might be an urban legend, it might be a myth, but I hear those screams in the night and I can imagine one of these scumbags from my job. I don't mean the contractors, they're the proletariat. I don't mean the orange badge, I mean the blue badge, you fuck. One of these blue badges pulling out a couple Mickey Finns or a $100 bill or whatever and paying some of these bums to kill each other. That's the world I'm talking about. That's Little Saigon. That's the shelf life thing. You need to check the date on the can. Yeah, I don't know. I know that there are people in my life who would highly desire me to have a positive attitude. I can tell you that so far with this new job, it is far from the worst situation I could be in. I had worked for the same company as a contractor many, many years ago before I fled Seattle the second or third time. And I had been on contracts in that particular Willy Wonka zone that were terrible, terribly dystopian. Yeah, well paid. And if your life is just about money and you don't care about people or the damage that a company can do to society, then really you wouldn't give a fuck. But the problem was, is I was still in that mode back then of really taking my I give a shit to work. I've gotten smarter since then. It's not that I don't give a shit. It's just that I realize that if you want to survive in America, everybody has to sin. If you want to survive in America, have anything, I mean just a fucking roof over your head, you're going to have to sin, even if it's a little one. And you say, Dan, well, I don't do anything bad. I give to Amnesty International. Do you pay your fucking taxes? Do you vote? I don't care who you vote for. The crocodile doesn't care who you vote for. It gets an ego trip from the fact that you vote. It gets fed because you pay your fucking taxes. And the crocodile goes overseas and it drops its bombs on Syria and other places. It destroys people's families. It ruins countries. It topples societies. It takes countries like Libya, not perfect places, and pushes them to the Middle Ages, way less fucking perfect, where rape and slavery is a daily fucking occurrence. You want to tell me you're a good person? If you pay your fucking taxes, you're a sinner just like me. Although you could say you don't believe in God, and that simply means you're not a sinner like me, you're worse than me. And you know, I don't claim I'm going to go to heaven. I believe in God. I go to church. I pray. And I do desire forgiveness and redemption. But I won't claim I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But I can guarantee you a lot of the people I meet every day are going straight to hell. And even if they don't make it there, or even if there weren't a hell, I think there is, but let's say there wasn't, they have turned this reality into a fucking hell for those of us who still have a conscience. So yeah, I don't know. I like this new job, I'm happy about it, but it brings out the worst in me. I don't mean the worst in terms of behavior, I mean the worst in terms of my feelings about the world. The people I encounter on that fucking bus are the people I ran away from in 2014. The people I encounter on that fucking bus are the people that, to be blunt, made Seattle a paradise for my ex-wife. You know, made it wonderful for her. I don't know if she still does. I don't even know if she's still here, but she loves it here, or she loved it here. And then when I moved back, I realized slowly over time, I hate it here. But you know, I also realized that when I went to Indiana in 2014, every place is becoming like here. Or it's a disaster. It's either a really shitty, douchey, statist, quasi-liberal tyranny like Seattle, or it's basically a society on the verge of collapse, like, I don't know, Chicago or Dayton, Ohio. That's it. Those are your options. You can work a good job and be another one of the scumbags, or you can end up basically on the edge of nothing, surrounded by meth heads and empty hypodermic needles and street bunnies, aka rats. Those are your options. You can work for the crocodile, hold your fucking nose and hope you don't vomit every 15 seconds, or you can be eaten by the crocodile. Those are your fucking options. But on a more positive note, the people at this new job, specifically the team I'm working on, they're pretty cool. I may be making a friend and another friend. That's not so bad. I will be getting, according to them, I will be getting a check on Monday And you know what? If you gotta work for the crocodile, at least you get fucking paid. So I can go get some weed and some Pinot Noir and listen to Pink Floyd and Rush, and then I can wake up the next day. And who knows, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll be able to fall asleep without imagining I'm on the edge of the solar system. The one thing, not the one thing, not the only thing, that's not correct, but the thing that occurred to me on the bus today, going to Willy Wonka's factory and back, is that there are many things that piss people off in this nice little neat Seattle. But what really pisses people off, above all else, is the act of thinking. God forbid you don't stare at your little glowing rectangle. God forbid you don't walk around staring at that glowing rectangle, that little smart device, with your little pinky finger flipping it around. God forbid you think. And if you do think, you're going to piss people off. If you express your thoughts, they're going to be angry. It doesn't matter if they agree. Nobody, no rational person who believes in a free society ever expected everybody to agree. We're going to disagree. As I've stated in podcasts before, I am offended by a lot of Seattle bullshit every fucking day of the week, and yet I would fight to my death to defend the right of any Seattleite to speak bullshit. What is bothersome to me, what is offensive to me, aren't the words of the stupid people. It's the fact that they will not allow me the same fucking right. So to all the fuckaroos and all the fuckbots, to all the bitches and assholes, to all the scumbags, male and female, who polish their Teslas and imagine their little tiny 500-foot square-foot homes being worth $1 million in a few years, to all those fuckers who are making their way up the corporate ladder, practicing the social engineering of Willy Wonka's factory while they screw their neighbor, to all those who think that homeless people spontaneously arise like the pre-Pasteurian thoughts of people who thought that rags became rats, that if you had a bunch of rags laying around, they would spontaneously convert themselves into rats. To all of you motherfuckers who don't realize that food, water, and shelter are things people need, you can all go to hell. Do I think all of you are like this? No, I know for a fact, especially talking to some of my listeners, you are not all like this. There are still other people out there like me who have some small grain of fucking sanity. But there are so many of you in Seattle that are scared shitless by human thinking. You're okay with the narrative, as bizarre as it is. You could call yourself a fucking Democrat and practice neo-McCarthyan bullshit about Russia. You can be offended when I use the word liberty in a sentence. You are scared to death of anyone that actually wants to think. So yeah, I'm really happy about this new job. But it reminds me of that infinite scream in my own soul that at night can only be quieted by imagining I'm cruising on the edge of the solar system. That infinite scream that says one thing over and over and over again, especially to those of you who get so offended on the bus that people not only have conversations, but think. Fuck you. Fuck you, Seattle.